This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Broadcasting veteran Derek Pearson.
When you find something that moves them, that makes them smile, celebrate it. That's your task. That's your superpower.
Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass. It was tipped. It's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5. He'll score!
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome into Old School, brought to you by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Every type of meat and every type of cut. I'm Austin Orman, holding down the fort while Jay Foreman makes his way in. DP is out today. Stick with us here for the next couple hours, starting your drive home from work here shortly, I hope. Been a good day here on The Ticket. Big thanks to Stricky. What a good show we just had during On the Block. If you missed any of it, you can check it out wherever it is you get your podcasts here in just a little while. Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Music, you name it, it's probably out there. Big thanks to the text line for its work here, including letting me know that this was unmuted. There we go. Let's mute it. Hopefully that's better, Big Bang Kank. Really appreciate you keeping an eye out there. Let's get back into the text line here, 402-464-5685. If you've got anything to say or add to this conversation. So in the conversation about Kentucky's head basketball coach, John Calipari, leaving for Arkansas, Travis, Alabama fan, said, big Bama fan here. Bama did get option one. Only offer that went out was to DeBoer. Plane went out that first night to Seattle, and it was Greg Byrne. No other coach was offered. Really? Really? I find that hard to believe. I honestly find it hard to believe that Kalen DeBoer was the only offer. Although, how about this? I find it more likely that Kalen DeBoer was the only offer. I highly doubt he was the first call. Highly doubt it. Do we know about some of these other calls? No, probably not that they happen. Absolutely. But I think we can infer with pretty good confidence that other calls happened. Think about the other extensions that were handed out at that point. I don't know if Lane Kiffin was a call. He doesn't scream Alabama to me. I think Lane's in a perfect spot at Ole Miss. Steve Sarkisian, right, tweeted out a little bit of a raise, a little bit of an extension for Sark at Texas, who, by the way, beat Alabama. Okay, so that's in there. And then the one that really stood out to me was Dan Lanning up at Oregon. You know, no, he never left his living room, right? Or his kitchen, wherever it was he posted that picture from up there in Eugene. But I would be floored if Alabama's people didn't call Lane Kiffin's agent, if they didn't call Steve Sarkisian's agent, and if they didn't call Dan Lanning's agent. Just because I'm willing to believe that Kalen DeBoer was the only head coach to receive an offer for Alabama. Fine, I can be on board with that. But I'm sure, I believe very strongly that there were other calls made before the one to Kalen DeBoer and his agent. Because even if Kalen DeBoer is a great coach, I mean, he's won at every level, right? I think Alabama got a good one. He's won at D3, he's won in D1, he's been a coordinator, he's paid his dues. Had a nice old turnaround and, you know, from the Jimmy Lake days up there at Washington. I'm a Kalen DeBoer fan. I think Alabama got a really good coach. Did Alabama get the best coach out there? I don't know. They didn't get Nick Saban 2.0. And I feel like just trying to put my Alabama cap on here to think through their process. Kalen DeBoer has done a pretty good job, you know, of... I don't want to say adapting. I know where I was going with that. Anyways, let's get back on track here. Kalen DeBoer is a good coach. He's done a good job climbing the ranks. There's where I was going with that. He's done a good job climbing the ranks. Again, D3 coordinator, head coach, right? He's paid his dues. He's made his stops. But he comes with a certain risk profile, as does pretty much anyone trying to step into the Alabama football job. Maybe the bluest of blue bloods in college football, especially recently. If I'm an Alabama booster, if I'm an Alabama administrator, I would want a little different risk profile. I don't want to say Kalen DeBoer is a wild card because he has been incredibly consistent with how he's won and how he's built, but he's never had to handle a job like Alabama. Now, there aren't very many jobs like Alabama. Those candidates aren't necessarily out there, but Kalen DeBoer's Pac-12 is not Kalen DeBoer's SEC by any stretch of the imagination. Totally different beast, totally different monster. Alabama football, the conversations that happen both in public and behind the scenes might be similar just because they're both college football jobs, but they are not the same conversations that are happening. If I'm an Alabama booster, if I'm on their board of regents or trustees, or I'm the president or athletic director, I want someone who's been at a high-pressure job where football is king. I don't know what's king at Washington in terms of the university, but I also know Washington University isn't necessarily king out there anyways, right? It's Alabama football in the state of Alabama, at least on one half of the state. The other half of the state, sure, throw Auburn in that mix, but just like we've talked about with Nebraska before the Supernovas, of course, Alabama football is the pro team in that great state. Not the case at all up in Washington. There is no perfect candidate for any job ever. Okay, let's make sure that is abundantly clear. There is no perfect candidate for a job. Alabama wasn't going to find a Nick Saban 2.0. There's just not, right? At least not the...
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We know of right now, maybe Alabama should have taken more time to do its search, but in this day and age of the transfer portal and player movement and NIL, you want to have your guy in place. So I don't want to say Alabama settled for Kalen DeBoer. I don't want to make that insinuation at all. I think he's a really good coach. His profile, his risk profile, just doesn't fit what I think would be the first priority candidate for Alabama, for where that program is at. Still really good, but not on top of the world. It's not Alabama's SEC anymore. It's Georgia's SEC. Alabama's the hunter, not the hunted. And maybe that's what, you know, makes Kalen DeBoer a good fit. Overlooked, hired over a couple times, potentially. Started from the bottom, now he's here. Not to go all, you know, Drake, University of Kentucky on you there. But, man, I just have a hard time believing someone that's biggest job is Washington was the first call for Alabama. Unless Greg Byrne did his work ahead of time, unless he and the boosters are, you know, maybe a search from behind the scenes, had some inclination that, no, Nick Saban didn't even know until he walked in, but we had got to have a list ready just in case. I'm just not buying Kalen DeBoer's candidate one. Really good coach? Absolutely. Candidate one, not so sure. Travis said, Lanning himself said he never heard from Byrne. Sark said he was called, but no offer was made. Okay, that says it right there. Sark was called. If Kalen DeBoer was the first call, Steve Sarkisian doesn't get a call. That's not how it works. Steve Sarkisian had to have been called before Kalen DeBoer was called. That's how these things go. Maybe there was no offer to Steve Sarkisian, but here's the other thing. Kalen DeBoer was a heck of a lot cheaper than Steve Sarkisian. Washington has money. Doesn't have Texas money. Not like that. Not if you're looking what Sark got. DeBoer's buyout, not the same as Sark's. So I think Alabama made the best choice it could for the money it was willing to spend. How about that? Yeah, there's a lot of money behind Alabama football, but again, it's the pro team. We know there's money behind Nebraska athletics. It's not pro sports town money, not Texas A&M money, as we've come to find out, you know, here in the last month or so. So no, maybe Steve Sarkisian never made an offer or never received an offer, but I guarantee his agent got called, probably started talking through terms, hypothetically, what would it take to get Steve Sarkisian to Tuscaloosa? Even Dan Lanning, you know, Dan Lanning can be telling the truth and say he never heard from Greg Byrne. That doesn't mean his agent never heard from Greg Byrne. You know, that's why these guys have agents to handle a lot of that stuff. And if, you know, Lanning's agent got a call and the offer was disrespectful, sure. You know, maybe Dan Lanning didn't actually hear that from Greg Byrne himself. I almost guarantee that Dan Lanning's agent heard from Alabama. Same with Steve Sarkisian. Maybe even Lane Kiffin gets thrown into that conversation as well. So, again, happy for Kalen DeBoer. I think Alabama got a good coach. I think it's a stretch to believe that he was the first call that Alabama made. And again, all of this ties in here to Kentucky losing its head coach, John Calipari, to Arkansas. Saw someone compare that to Jimbo Fisher going from Florida State to Texas A&M. That's on the table. I also think John Calipari is a much better basketball coach than Jimbo Fisher is a football coach. So I don't know if that's even fair to John Calipari necessarily. And this conversation again got brought up with Strick and I because, me and Strick, because Duke hired internally. Carolina hired internally. Kansas hasn't had to worry about it for a long time. If you want to throw UCLA into this blue blood conversation, you can go for it. They haven't kept it in the family for a while, and Mick Cronin had a good couple years. It still seems like a weird hire for UCLA, but that's the last, you know, blue blood that's really had to make a hire. Maybe Indiana, if you throw them out there, but whew, Indiana's blue blood status is rapidly declining, if you ask me. And I don't know how much of history is, you know, what you've done for me lately versus how much have you done, period. But Kentucky is a bigger job than any of those recent ones. I mean, Kentucky might be the biggest job in college basketball, to be quite honest. Bigger market, closer to bigger markets than Kansas is, more established historically than both Duke and Carolina. So to watch a blue blood that I think, you know, had every reason to part ways with John Calipari before it did, just based off of, again, I mentioned this during On the Block. John Calipari said he would be shocked if his tenure at Kentucky was longer than 10 years. First 10 years, first decade of Coach Cal, elite stuff. Title contention every year, made all the Final Fours. Okay, he was in his 15th year, just completed his 15th year. The last 5 years, two missed NCAA tournaments, two second-round exits, and a first-round exit. Not very good, but again, he passed his 10-year mark, and he was beefing with the athletic director. And he didn't have a new facility built his entire time there in terms of his practice facility. I'm surprised John Calipari lasted as long as he did. I would have thought Mitch Barnhart would have drummed up the money and they would have had a mutual parting, even for a guy with a lifetime contract. Arkansas bailed Kentucky out. And I think it's good for Arkansas. I think Arkansas comes out looking pretty good in this deal. They got a better coach than they've had since Nolan Richardson, pretty easily. But now, is John Calipari the guy to help Arkansas take the next step? Because Eric Musselman got him to some Elite Eights in the Sweet 16. That's a big deal at a place that hasn't had much success again since Nolan Richardson. I'm Austin Norman. This is Old School on 93.7 The Ticket. Let's dive into the history of one versus one in the NCAA championship game. It's Purdue. It's UConn. We've had a handful of one seed versus one seed championship games. We'll run you down the history of those as we continue Old School.
You're listening to Old School with DP and J. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.